pick a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder. 2:30 to 4 Monday to Friday. It is the Blitz here on AM 1450 KATE. Mitch Widmeyer here with you. To the phone lines we go, and he hops on every week with us. He is the voice of the Gophers, the sports director at Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm, on the Blitz this afternoon. Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. I'm very curious, what does Mike Grimm and the rest of the radio crew do to pass along the time during an hour-plus long rain delay that you encountered on Saturday night?
Well, we had a little easier job in at the game site itself. We basically were just observing what was happening. Our studio host, Corbu Status, and Tommy Olson, former player, kind of filled with scoreboards, some analysis. And then eventually, for those that stuck with it, we ended up, because we knew it was going to be a longer delay than just a half hour, then the protocol is to replay the coach's show from earlier in the week. And that's what the Purdue side did as well. On their broadcast on the home field. But, it was one of those deals. You know, technology is an amazing thing. I'm not sure 30 years ago that game would have been delayed, because we did not see a lot of lightning, quite honestly. It did rain. There were some ugly-looking clouds. But the technology indicated there was lightning in the area, and as you would guess, when there's 40,000 people in one area, and there's a lightning, you want to make sure that everyone's safe, and that's what they did.
It came in the fourth quarter, the weather delay. I think it lasted nearly an hour and a half long. The Gophers came out of it, Mike, and I think most would expect, like, not just Minnesota, like any team or teams in that situation, to perhaps come out with some sloppy play, maybe some lackadaisical things to occur. But the Gophers drove right down the field, took the lead on a field goal late in the fourth quarter. How impressive was that drive?
Well, it was impressive, and here's the thing. I think the story of the game was, in all phases, it was, I thought they all played okay, but nobody did quite enough. In other words, even on that drive, if there's one more first down, they win the game probably on the last play of the game or close to it. They don't give Purdue a chance to come back, but it was third and five, and they did a straight handoff, and they got no yards and kicked a field goal, and then Purdue took a timeout with 2:26 to play. And the field goal, you know, was good, but Purdue had time. If they just get one more first down, the game is probably over on the field goal or close to it. But even that, the defense, I thought, did very well, given the circumstances and given the idea that they're so thin in the secondary. They forced four turnovers. They gave the offense the ball in some great field position in the first half especially. But when it came time to really finish the deal, after the offense drove, as you said, impressively and got down the field, they couldn't close that either. And even the special teams, they had a field goal to go ahead. They had a punt down at the one-yard line. They did a lot of good things. But on that last kickoff after the field goal, the kicker slips as a bad low-line kick. No one can tackle anybody. And they return it out to the 44-yard line to set up a short field and help them go ahead. Where had they pinned them deep and they had 80 yards to go, it might have been a different strategy. So all those things had flashes of really good. The Gophers led the game with 2 minutes to play. In fact, with a minute 40 to play, they had the lead. And as it turns out, they end up losing by 14. But everything's on the cusp. Close but no cigar, I guess, would be the theme of this one, including that last drive. If they had just gotten one more first down, we're probably talking about a Golden Gopher victory here.
Always enjoy having him on the program. He is Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers and sports director at Minnesota News Network. As you mentioned, ultimately they lose the game 31-17, and as it goes, two straight losses, both in conference. First-year head coach that we have acknowledged and we know he's very different than coaches of years past. He just goes about things in a very different manner. Some are going to pounce and say what they want in negative light after these two losses. Nobody wants to start conference play 0-2, but I do think, Mike, that Gopher fans, perhaps a bit naive if they thought this Minnesota team this year was just going to be steamrolling past competition within the Big Ten. Like, let's just give PJ Fleck some time instead of jumping to conclusions 2 months into year one like some have already done.
Yeah, and especially given the injury situation, I think we'd be singing a different tune if Antoine Winfield were healthy. And he also has made it clear he's not going to back away from discipline. And, you know, they're missing Demery Croft. You know, who knows what impact Demery Croft would have had over the past few weeks. I thought it was clear after 2 weeks that Connor Rota won the job. And then, Demery Croft got in trouble. and was off the team. Now he's back on the team. He did practice with the team this past week. I didn't think he would play this past weekend, and he didn't. And we'll find out. I'm sure that'll be a question that'll be asked this week as to, you know, what his status is with the team, and will he potentially have a chance to play again. Connor Rota was good, but not great, and there might be some things that that Croft can bring to the field. So when all those things are factored, and then you have Duke McGee, the starting safety, missed two games, and Antoine Winfield get hurt, and he's out. And, you know, we figured it up. The top eight defensive backs, seven of the top eight defensive backs on this team last year did not play in this past game. Now, three graduated, three were injured, and, you know, so that makes it an issue. You know, you're playing guys that aren't ready or aren't fully healthy. I mean, they're healthy enough to play, but they aren't full speed yet, if that makes sense. Coney Durr is the guy I'm talking about. He is a guy that everybody's high on. He had a really good freshman year, played well on special teams last year, was having a really good bowl game, and then blew his knee out. And so he's less than a year removed from that and is not really full speed. I mean, he's healthy, the knee is good, but he doesn't quite have the step that he had before. He will. And he had to play on that last drive. And if you watch closely, I think on that last drive, on that long crossing pattern, that was his responsibility. And so that's where you're at now with this team because it's so thin. I heard people this week say, well, maybe you need to move some receivers, at least in the short term, over there. The problem is no receivers are healthy. You know, Philip Howard got injured again. Demetrius Douglas is out for the year. I mean, those were two of the top three or four receivers on this team, and they're injured. And, you know, Philip Howard got hurt on the second play of the game and was out with a concussion. So it's a hard nut. You know, it's a tough situation all the way around, and I know nobody wants to hear coaches or announcers, for that matter, make excuses for injuries, but this team is pretty thin, and the margin of error already was thin. And then when you factor in the injuries, it is what it is, and now it doesn't get any easier. You know, at the start of the year, these were two games at, you know, Purdue and Maryland that Gopher fans figured could be wins, maybe should be wins, and would be favored. And as it turned out, they were favored and won and lost. They were an underdog and won and lost, and here they are 0-2.
And Mike, even with the injuries galore, especially in the secondary, on the field Saturday against Purdue, I thought the Gophers' defense in the first half especially looked pretty dang good, and they were pouncing all over Purdue. But when they forced four turnovers, so I thought the Gophers' defense more than did their job through the first 30 minutes. And granted, a couple of those were deep in Gophers' territory where Purdue looked like they were for sure to have points. But when your defense forces four turnovers in the first half, you have to get more than 14 points in turn on offense, right? You got to help them out.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I thought the defense played well enough to win until that very final drive when they couldn't finish it. But up until then, absolutely. I mean, if you'd have said with 2 minutes left, Purdue would have 16 points, I would have said that'll be a Minnesota win. But you're right. I thought that the key part of the game to me wasn't the end, although it would have been nice to get a stop there and wind the clock out and get the victory. The key part was the late second quarter, right before halftime. As you mentioned, there was a bad punt. There were two turnovers. I don't have the box score in front of me, and so this may not be exactly right, but I want to say the Gophers offense was given the ball at their own 41, at their own 42, and I want to say it like the Purdue 40 or 39-yard line. And out of all of that, they got zero, no points. Connor Rota fumbled on an option play inside the 10-yard line as it looked like they were going in. And so instead of 14-6, if you really want to get greedy, you could say, hey, it could be 21, 28, 24-6. At a minimum, 17-6 would be nice. But it was 14-6. Purdue's quarterback, Elijah Sindelar, in his postgame comments actually said that they went into halftime saying, my gosh, we've just handed them what should be 28 points, and we're only a touchdown down at 14-6. And so they actually felt okay going into halftime and came out and scored the first 10 points of the second half. And in fact, the first 11 points, right? No, first 10 points. They were up 16 to whatever it was, 14. And, you know, as it turns out, it wasn't enough for Minnesota. But yeah, I thought the defense put that offense in position. And again, close but no cigar. I thought the offense didn't play very well, didn't take advantage of those opportunities. But when it came right down to it, game on the line, they drove the ball down and got the go-ahead points with the, you know, just over 2 minutes to go. So had the Gopher defense been able to hold, you'd be talking about a Gopher win, but two, yeah, the offense did what it had to do. But as it stands, it's a loss, it's a results-oriented business, and it's on to next week.
Mike Grimm with us this afternoon here on AM 1450 KATE. One thing that outside, we'll get to Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks, who were both really good, especially in the first half as well for the Gophers. But I thought it was nice to see, Mike, the Gophers post six and with the X point seven on two cases instead of three. They had it twice, third and goal plays, and on both instances they convert touchdowns, and in both instances they put it in the hands of Connor Roden, and it paid off.
Yeah, he found Tyler Johnson on kind of a funky play, in that wasn't, I don't think, the initial idea, but it worked. He caught it and fought his way to the end zone, and then it was a beautiful play on play action on third and goal, and Lingen was all alone. And I had mentioned, I think even with you last week, with the loss of Demetrius Douglas, I think the question was who's going to pick up the slack, and we saw Lingen score a touchdown against Maryland, and was hoping that he would continue to do things, and I think he has, and he's healthy, although he did limp off at one point but came back into the game. There's no doubt he can be a pass-catching presence here with this football team, and we'll have to continue to do that. But that was good to see. And you're right, touchdowns over field goals always help you win a football game. So that was a good sign.
Mike, did it seem like to you that the Gophers, especially offensively in that first half, that they accomplished the game plan of, like, feed Shannon Brooks and feed Rodney Smith, and they both had gobs of success, especially in those first 30 minutes? I just, like, it's got to be irritating, must it be, right, to lay out a blueprint, execute it with good amounts of success, yet they still come up short on the scoreboard at the end of the night.
Yeah, especially in that first half. You know, they had a couple of long runs. Both those guys reeled off some long runs. I think Smith had like a 51-yarder, and Brooks had like a 30-some-yard run at one point. To help set up those touchdowns in the first half and the second quarter. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. They got a little sideways on the sticks a couple of times. I know they want to break tendencies. You know, when you're running the football as well as you are, they are going to start stacking the box. And so they wanted to break some tendencies. And unfortunately, the passing game didn't step up enough. And so then all of a sudden you find yourself in a second and 10. And then the one handful of times that they did run on first down and got stuffed. So, yeah, obviously the goal for offensive goal is to stay ahead of the sticks and stay on schedule. When it's not a real high-power offense, you can't afford to be in second and long and third and middle medium. And when they were running the ball well, they weren't. They were on schedule and moving the sticks. And then when they struggle on first down, that leads to struggles on third down.
I hate to be the, like, Debbie Downer here, and I'm trying to play the role of logical thinking. You mentioned, Mike, that I think a lot of Gopher fans and those who follow along with this team thought, yeah, at worst, 1-1, you split against Maryland and Purdue at worst, and now they sit here at 0-2, and I'm just looking at the schedule. I'm looking at the schedule, and Michigan State all of a sudden is 4-1. They're ranked in the top 25, coming off an impressive win in the Big House at Michigan. And you look at who's left on this schedule for Minnesota. I mean, I think it's going to be, they're going to have to, like, bust their tails to lock in a bowl game this year. It could come down to that, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you're now starting to look at it and say, how do you get to six? You got to get three more wins. And, you know, they're going to be favored in maybe two more games, so they'll have to pull an upset off. And, again, it's not a product of what we thought we'd see in August. It's a product of what the reality is now, and that is a thin team. It's maybe not quite as good as some people thought, and then it's even more thin than we thought. And so that becomes an issue. Obviously, it becomes an issue. So, you know, where do the wins come? I mean, easy, you know, just easy for announcers or media folks like us to look at, but you know, Illinois is homecoming in a couple of weeks. Obviously, you got to get that one. That's got to be one of the three, you would think. Michigan State, can you catch them in a letdown? Can they come out flat after their biggest win of the year? Maybe, and try that this weekend. Nebraska's at home. Wisconsin's at home. Those will be uphill fights. That Iowa's not going to be easy. So, yeah, there's going to be some there's winnable games, but certainly they're going to probably have to pull off an upset. I think in August, if you looked at it, the first six games, you would have said the Gophers will be favored in five and maybe all six of those. And as it turns out, they were favored in four. They were favored in three. They believe it or not, were not favored at Oregon State and pulled off, I guess you'd call it an upset in a convincing way. And they were favored at home against Maryland and lost. So those two wash out. And so as it stands, the way the experts look at it, they, according to the odds, should be 3-2, and that's where they sit. They're an underdog this week against Michigan State. I saw this morning, I think someone tweeted, it's a 4 or 5 point spread, so it will be an uphill fight this weekend. But again, maybe it sets up okay. Maybe you catch the Spartans on a letdown coming off of a big win and a primetime game this weekend at home, and maybe the Gophers can cash in and close out a game.
It is Michigan State in town this weekend under the lights at TCF Bank Stadium. Keys for the Gophers would be what in this contest?
Well, I think they got to continue to run the ball, and that's a hard task. This Michigan State defense is always good. Even last year on the run side of things, they were pretty good. And so if you don't have that going for you, it could make for a long night. And so somehow you got to figure out ways to make things happen. And the Gophers ran for 220 plus against Purdue, and you're going to have to try to figure out a way to move the ball that way. But honestly, at the end of the day, Connor Rota is going to have to, and I mentioned this last week and maybe the week before, some point in Big Ten play, he's going to have to throw the ball downfield. They're going to have to put the ball in his hands, and they may have to throw the ball 30 or 40 times at some point. Maybe that's this week. If they want to, as you mentioned, if they want to make a bowl game, that's probably going to happen once or twice.
We'll finish up with a couple of quick points. I always like kind of spanning around and getting your thoughts. What was your number one headline from the college football weekend? There were six ranked teams that lost. I think four of them were ranked teams losing to non-ranked teams. Was it Iowa State knocking off Oklahoma and Norman that kind of stole the cake?
Yeah, huge upset playing with their, third-string quarterback and 31-point underdog. I think that game was like a 24-point spread on Friday, and then when word leaked that the Iowa State quarterback didn't make the trip, the spread jumped to 31 on Saturday morning, and Iowa State went in there and beat a team that, if the playoffs had started on Friday night, would have been in the playoffs. Huge upset. I mean, unfathomable. I don't know what the numbers are, but a 31-point underdog winning, it's got to be I'm talking pure point spread now. I'm not talking like volume or magnitude, although this is a pretty – I mean, this is going to knock Oklahoma out of the playoffs. I don't see any way that even at a one loss they can make the playoffs with that loss being to a mediocre Iowa State team. But pure point spread, it's got to be one of the top handful of upsets ever. I mean, for a road team to go in and overcome, you know, being a 31-point underdog. So that for sure was the big takeaway, I think, from a national scene. There's no doubt about that. And I think pretty much everything else, what held the form for the most part in the Big Ten. Northwestern is a game, I guess you'd look at, that the Gophers, it's a road game. They maybe haven't played as well as they had hoped either, and maybe that's a game you got to hope that Minnesota can get on the road down the road, because the Northwestern, I didn't think, looked very good against Penn State this past weekend either.
We'll leave on this then. You brought up Penn State, who won 31-7 in Evanston against Northwestern. What's the difference between Penn State as best team in the Big Ten right now and whoever is next? Probably most would have Ohio State after Michigan lost to Michigan State, but the Spartans are there, the Wolverines. What do you is the difference between Penn State and that next team in the conference?
Well, I don't think much. I think Ohio State, I would still pick them to win that division. I think they host Penn State this year. They look like they're back on track. They stubbed their toe against Oklahoma, and it seems Ohio State does that once they get rolling. I mean, they put 62 up on Maryland, a team that, you know, last week at this time I was telling everybody on your station that, hey, they're better than we thought, you know, because they beat the Gophers and everything, and then at one point, I think Ohio State had a 62-3 lead on those people. So I think Ohio State's starting to find itself. I think they'll end up winning the East and probably play Wisconsin and Indianapolis for a chance to go to the playoffs.
Folks, this Saturday, Gophers, Michigan State, 7 p.m. kickoff, 6 p.m. pregame. Catch Mike Grimm and company right here on AM 1450 KATE. Mike, as always, the time's appreciated.
You got it. Thanks, Mitch. Enjoyed it as always.
We will roll through some weekend headlines from the National Football League coming up next.